Get your Bibles out. Thank you, Brother Randy. Let's see here. Ephesians chapter 1. And do me a favor, get your finger licked up because we're going to use our Bibles a little bit tonight. We're going to continue on our topic of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1. Guess it'll help if I get to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 13 and 14. You follow along silently, and then we'll turn to one other verse. I'll pray, and then I'm going to jump right into the teaching. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Father, please, I need you tonight. Help us to rightly divide the word of truth tonight. And God, I pray that we would have a new association with you and a new confidence because of what we've learned about the Holy Spirit, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight may be one of the more interesting and what I think is neat Bible studies about the Holy Spirit. It's helped me. I've enjoyed it. And I hope you will as well. Let me say it this way, as a Christian, as a saved person, as a child of God. Now, folks,
Goose.
I think my battery is totally dead. I left it on Sunday. Thank you, Brother Barnes. It's deader than a hammer. All right. I've been saved for about 47 years. I've been saved a long time. I got saved when I was 4.5, 5 years old. And I've been in church for, let's see, I'm 52. I've been in church almost 53 years. I went to church for 9 months before I was hatched. I've just been in church my whole life. I'm not a church mouse. I'm a church rat. I understand it. I was a deacon's kid. I grew up and got in trouble with the preacher's kids. And you name it, we did it all. Amen. I did not go swimming in the church baptistry. I know those that did, but I did not. Now, we see God use a very interesting term. You still have it on, Brother Barnes. Don't talk too loud. Is it live or is it Memorex? The old timers will know that one. We see God use a very interesting term here in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 4. God said that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, that term being sealed by the Holy Spirit is only used 5 or 6 times in the entire Bible. But where it's used, it's very powerful. God says that the Holy Spirit is our seal. Now, I'm not talking about the one at the zoo or that kind of thing. But when a person gets saved, now listen to this very carefully here. Too many people don't understand salvation. Brother Dorsey, stand up here. You look like a lost person. All right. Here's a lost man. He bows his head, trusts Jesus Christ, and gets saved. And he's now saved. All right, hit his head on the altar. Can you tell? Now, wait a minute. When he trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior, watch this. Not only did God wash his sin away, but God also imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ into his life. It is not just the absence of sin that gets us to heaven. It's the presence of righteousness. That's why the Bible says, as is written, there is none righteous, No, not one. Romans chapter 10 says, they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And at salvation, according to Romans chapter 6, Christ's righteousness is imputed to our account.
Yes, sir.
But here's what happens. A person is a body, a soul, and a spirit. A lost person is a body and a soul, but they have a dead spirit. When you get born again, according to John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. What gets born again? The body? No, his mother wouldn't make that same mistake twice. It was his spirit that got born again. Now watch this. When his spirit became alive, it was quickened, according to the scripture, by the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit that indwells or lives inside of Brother Dorsey right now. Every saved person, the moment you trusted Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God moved in. You can have a seat. I'm not going to fight anybody, but we say, take Jesus into your heart. Unscriptural answer. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. You trust what Jesus did to get you saved. But the Holy Spirit is who moves inside you, not Jesus Christ. So it is the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Everybody understand that? All right, rattle your cage one or the other, all right? At least I know you'll be listening. Now, here's what happens. Once he moves in, according to the scripture, he seals us. That's what I want to talk to you tonight about. He seals us. What does it mean to be sealed by the Holy Spirit? Now, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse number 29. John chapter 1, look at verse number 29. That was not the verse I was looking for. Well, yeah, it is. John chapter 1, look at verse number 29. The next day, John, that's John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, everybody look at me. Jesus was the Lamb of God. Notice in that verse, Lamb is capitalized. That's in reference to Jesus. All right? If your Bible doesn't, throw it away and get a new one. Before a lamb in the Old Testament could be sacrificed. This is an old goat. No. But before a lamb could be sacrificed, it had to be put up and observed for a period of time. Correct? During that period of time, that lamb had to be inspected. It couldn't have bad teeth. It couldn't have blind eyes. It couldn't have scars on its body. It had to have its tongue. It couldn't have cuts in its ears and in different things. It had to be what they called a perfect lamb. It couldn't have any blemish. Once it was deemed and it had been set up and inspected, then a priest would then place a seal or a special mark on that sacrifice as being acceptable for a sacrifice. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There's the sacrifice. He had been set up for a period of time. He had lived a sinless life. He was about to be sacrificed for your sin and for mine. Now watch this. It had to be approved or sealed by a priest or branded to signify its acceptance as a sacrifice. Turn to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Keep your fingers ready because we're going to bounce through the book of Revelation quickly here. Revelation chapter 7, look at verse number 14. Revelation 7, verse number 14. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Talking about the saved, correct? Now watch this. They had special robes on signifying. Look at chapter 13, verse number 8. Chapter 13, verse number 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Proof that he is our Lamb. Look at chapter 19, verse number 7. Chapter 19, verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Notice, he is our Lamb. Look at chapter 21, verse number 9. 21, verse number 9. And there came unto me one of seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride and the Lamb's wife. Look at verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations in them, and the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And look at verse 27. There shall be no wise, there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but that which is written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, notice Jesus was our Lamb. He is the Lamb of God, and he had been set apart as that Lamb. By the way, he was a perfect sacrifice. There was no sin in him. The Mormons and all these other idiots out there that say, well, Jesus and Satan were brothers. That's a lie out of hell. Lucifer was an archangel. He was not a brother of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only begotten of God. That's why the Bibles that take away the word begotten are wrong Bibles. We ought not be taking away from the word of God. Everybody doing okay? So the priest, Jesus, was our perfect lamb. He was our perfect sacrifice. And God approved him as such. Turn back to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Look at verse number 26. John chapter 6, look at verse number 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which is lasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for God the Father, or for him hath God the Father what?
Sealed.
God placed his seal on Jesus. Can I tell you who the seal was that was placed on Jesus? The Holy Spirit of God. That's why when he was talking to his disciples in the upper room and said, I'm about to leave you, but I'll not leave you comfortless. I will send another in my name, and he shall indwell you. Jesus lived the perfect life because he was perfectly submitted to the Holy Spirit. He had no sin. By the way, he fulfilled the word of God. And we said before, the Holy Spirit cannot work outside the confines of the word of God. For somebody to tell you, well, I believe God wants me to do this. Wrong answer. Show me in the Bible. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If it's not about getting people saved, then it may not be God's will. You say, well, I need to pray about what car to buy. I've got to find God's will. No, you got to make sure you don't get taken. I don't think there's just one car in the world that you're supposed to buy. Everybody doing okay? Show me in the scripture where it says you're supposed to pray about God's will concerning a car. I think we ought to pray for wisdom. I think we ought to pray for God to show us if there's something wrong with it. But I don't think if you bought the green one and God wanted you to have the blue one, that God's going to curse the green one. And it doesn't mean just because you bought a lemon that it was God's fault. Everybody doing okay? We don't have to, please don't get mad at me. You don't have to pray about which car. You have to pray about the finances at a good deal. That's what you pray about, not which one it is. Now, I think if you're wise, you'll get it to a mechanic or somebody who understands vehicles. I think you'll get with somebody who understands pricing on vehicles so you don't get gouged. There's some wisdom that goes with that. I think that's what you pray for. Whether you bought a Ford or a Dodge doesn't really matter in God's economy. Everybody doing okay? Now, he wouldn't have you buy a Toyota. But they do okay on that one, Pop? Good. Whew. Mom's in hospital. I don't need to be next to her. Now, God announced Jesus' appearance as the Lamb of God and this seal of approval on him. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. Let me show you something. Let me show you what the seal of approval was with Jesus and God. Look at verse number 15. Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and they saw what? The Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's God's seal of approval. Notice it came with the Holy Spirit. So that Holy Spirit was sealed by God saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Happened after Jesus had been baptized. Now, baptism doesn't get anybody saved. But this dove was the seal of the Holy Spirit coming down on Jesus. Let me show you what I mean by a seal. How many of you have ever gone to the store and you see in blue ink on your packages of meat, USDA approved? I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. That is the seal of approval. That means it's supposed to have been inspected and approved by the United States government that it is acceptable and the quality by which we expect our food to be judged by. You don't understand something. In some countries, roadkill is the best thing there is. Spoiled meat's not uncommon in third world countries. It's amazing what we have done. We expect a certain quality of food when we go somewhere. You go outside this country, you'd be surprised what people eat. Dogs and cats and monkeys and rotten food, rats, you name it. Miss Mung's eating a lot of them, amen. You go into some of these Oriental countries, and let me tell you, if it's got 2 feet, 4 feet, and it was a critter, and they can catch it, they're going to put it down the pie hole. I've been in places, and I've seen some things, monkey on a stick and different things, and that's a delicacy in the Philippines. You go to the market and there's monkeys fried up on sticks laying there. And it's just, you say, oh, I couldn't do that. But horse meat. I'm so repulsed by horse meat. Well, it's no different than a cow. It just runs a little faster. It eats the same grass. I hate to disappoint you. Now, you say, I wouldn't eat no horse. You probably have eaten more horse than you know. And I'm not going there. But that seal signifies that that meat is safe to eat. Does that make sense? That is exactly what the Holy Spirit does to the Christian. He seals us and lets us know we've been saved. Now, when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit has a seal and he places on us and he makes us acceptable to God. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Very familiar passage. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living what? Sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now watch this. If you are a living sacrifice, you have to have been put up and approved by the Holy Spirit. Key word to that is sacrifice. I preached a whole sermon on those two words, living sacrifice. It's in reference to the scapegoat. One was sacrificed for you, and the living one went free. The blood from the dead one was placed on the live one. That's a beautiful picture of salvation. Jesus shed his blood so that we could live forever. That's what that living sacrifice is. And we have those eternal genetics due to the Holy Spirit of God moving inside us. Number two, I got to hurry. So, number one, it's a stamp of approval. Number two, this seal is an official banknote. It's an official guarantor of a note to be paid. Turn your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Or chapter 1, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse number 21. 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 21. And that's not the verses I wanted, I don't think. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's try that. I think I miswrote something here. Yep, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let me fix up my notes so I don't make a mistake again. Look at verse number 21. Now he which establisheth with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Ooh. The earnest. How many of you have ever put money down on a house in negotiating? What do they call that? They call that your earnest money. In other words, you're putting money down on something, saying, this is my word that we're going to follow through with this. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is the earnest of your salvation?
Yes, sir.
He's the earnest money from God. The Holy Spirit God gives us and says, when you die, I've already paid for it, but you won't know that it's paid for till you die. So here's my earnest money. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. Whew. That's pretty good stuff. When we got our loan for our church, several of our men went together and we had to sign for a period of years, a couple years or so, several of us, and they had to check our backgrounds, our financial statements, and everything else. We didn't co-sign, but we became guarantors of the loan. There's about five of us on that if for some reason we're late on a payment or payments get back, that they will come to the guarantors to make sure that it gets paid. That's what the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit's there to make sure that your eternal debt is paid. He's there to guarantee your spot in heaven. And when a person gets saved, not only is he the down payment, but he is the guarantor of the loan. By the way, that's why you cannot lose your salvation. That's why these people say, well, I don't know that they really meant it. There is no barometer on how much you have to mean it. Jesus said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It didn't say, believe with all thine heart. Everybody doing okay? The Holy Spirit is your official paperwork for God to have to accept you when you die and go to heaven. You say, preacher, how do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Because when I got saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside. And guess what? God has to take me or Jesus is going to go to hell because I'm just as saved as Jesus was. Say, aren't you afraid to make that statement? Not at all. I'm just as saved as Jesus is. Because I did what he told me to do. And I have the same Holy Spirit that has sealed me, that sealed him in Matthew chapter 3. We've got to hurry. Point number 3. I'm trying to really get done in time tonight. All right. Number 3. So we have the seal is a stamp. Number 2, the seal is a banknote or guarantor on a loan or payment. Number 3, the seal is like a fence or a jar sealed to hold decay from happening. Look at John chapter 3. Let's turn back to John chapter 3. And then I'll try to illustrate this and help you. John chapter 3, look at verse number 33. John 3:33. He that receiveth his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Notice, seal and Spirit go together. Now look at me for a second. I love this. That seal is the word literally meaning something to preserve. We were sitting at the dinner table tonight. My wife's got some rhubarb cherry jelly that she made. It's good stuff. Brother Dorsey got some on his forehead and his tongue slapped it, and that's why he's got that mark. All right? But we hadn't opened it yet, and we had been eating for a while. And that jar was real cold sitting in the refrigerator, but when it came out and sat at the table for a while, guess what happened? It went, dunk! Y'all know what I'm talking about? Scared us all half to death. It was starting to seal up a little bit. You cold pack vegetables. What happens? You boil them things in those mason jars and get everything just right. Take them out after an hour or so and put them out. Let them start cooling down, and you listen for the to take place. Tell you what is that? They're sealing them. In other words, those whatever you put in there, whether it's peaches or whether it's green beans or whatever it is, what's going to happen is this: they're not going to die. They'll stay at the same level of freshness that they are right there. You're keeping decay out, and you're preserving the freshness in. Brother Larry cans deer meat every once in a while. Gave me some of it a year or so ago. Say, what was it? It's a way of preserving that meat to keep it in a state that's edible. So that sealing preserves it. Now watch this. The Holy Spirit is the one who preserves our eternal genetics. The Bible says that we are regenerated or regened by the Holy Spirit of God. When I was born 52 years ago, I had the genetics of my dad and my mom. I can't take those away. There's parts of them I wished I could, because I don't want to face some certain things. Amen? I wish they could have taken out the kidney stone genetic. I got a triple dose of it. No big deal. Now, wait a minute. I can't change those genetics. I look a little bit like my dad. My son Josh has my genetics. Poor kid looks just like me, except I have better hair. Now, wait a minute. I have more of it, too. I say that to say this. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit is what gives you the eternal genetics. That's why he said you must be born again. You had to have the eternal genetics of God, because those eternal genetics died with sin. So you had to be regened or regenerated or have regeneration take place And the moment the Holy Spirit moved in, new spiritual life was conceived, and you have the eternal genetics of God, and your spirit cannot die. Did you know your spirit can only die once, but it can live twice? Did you know you can't kill your spirit? I love the story. Dr. Rice, Dr. John R. Rice, he was not the most bombastic man. He was a very intelligent man, but he wasn't the most bombastic preacher. But he was as mean as a snake sometimes. Brother Hiles used to say Dr. Rice would pick a fight every 3 weeks. And if somebody hadn't jumped on him, he'd jump on somebody else just to create a fight. He'd stir something up just to keep things going. That was Dr. Rice. Well, he was in a preaching meeting with Brother Hiles one time, and they walked out, and this guy had a gun to Dr. Rice's stomach. And he said, "I'm going to blow your brains out, old man. Give me your wallet." And Dr. Rice took his glass. He said, "My brains aren't in my stomach, son." The guy looked at him and walked away. That's just the kind of guy he was. Now, not me. Now, wait a minute. Those eternal genetics, that comes by the Holy Spirit. That's why we are born by the Holy Spirit of God. We are regened. We are regenerated. We are regeneticized. It is literally the word regenetics. Now watch this. He is the one who seals our record to see the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not only does he allow our spirit and make our spirit to be quickened or to become alive, but he also seals our record with the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. How many of you have ever been in a court situation or heard of a court situation when they said, "Well, this person has a record, but their records are sealed"? In other words, they can't be gotten into for any purpose. That's what the Holy Spirit did to your sin. He sealed it and nobody could get to it. Your record is sealed. God did that for you. God did that for me. He holds in the bad and he keeps out or lets everybody else see the good. He's covered it. He's put it in a file and he's got it in there and it's sealed to where nobody can get to it. The Bible, the words of God, are what assure us that God gives the Holy Spirit the authority and the power to do this. Can I tell you something? Holy Spirit will not outside those words right there. Won't happen. If the preacher gets up one day and says, "The Holy Spirit's told me that everybody should next week give your entire paycheck and live by faith," know it, the preacher's wrong. Say why? Well, Holy Spirit told him to do it. Holy Spirit didn't say do that. The only thing God requires is that the Christian should tithe and give tithes and offerings. Nowhere does it say give everything you have. "Well, I believe in living by faith." Good, you live by faith. Don't make your mortgage payment or your bank live by faith. Don't make the power company live by faith. You live by faith, but you pay your bills and be an honest person. Everybody doing okay? I'm not saying it's sinful for churches to have what they call give it all Sundays. But as long as I have my right mind, we'll never do something like that around here. I believe in everybody doing their part every week and God will take care of the rest. "Well, the Holy Spirit told me this. I feel like the Spirit." Okay, when people put feel and spirit together, something's wrong. The Holy Spirit and feelings are never mentioned together ever in the scriptures. When the music starts making you jigaboo and jump up and down and dance, and they say, "Do you feel the Spirit?" That's not the Holy Spirit. That's a different spirit. Just so you know. That's fleshly. That's not the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit works within the confines of the Word of God. And that's it. when people start jumping up and down and jibber jabbering and flipping and flopping on the floor saying, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. Whatever they got, I don't want. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's just not. I've used this illustration before. It's so true. Miss Kim, you'll relate to this very well. I was in South Carolina. We went to a lady in our church. It happened to be a black family. And their black church, her mom passed away, and they had the funeral there. Well, they had the deaconesses up front, you know, in the white, I call them nurses' outfits. I don't know what else to call it. And they got their white gloves on and white hats and white dresses. And poor Miss Mabel sitting on the front row with her sisters and brothers, and everybody's up there crying. Miss Mabel's just sitting there smiling. Mama was in heaven. Why should she cry? And them old deaconesses, they were trying to get her to cry. And they'd walk up to her and they'd put their arms around her and they'd take their hand and they'd start smacking her in the face to try to get her to cry. And she's going like this. After about third or fourth time she's getting smacked, I was about three or four rows back. I was about as far back as Arlene is to the front row. I said, Miss Mabel, just cry and get it over with before you bruise. My poor wife had never been in a black church before. And you talk about somebody who was out of place. She was. She's, honey, shut up, shut up. I said, it's fine, don't worry. I'm having a good time. And they were trying to get her, these were the words. You got to feel the Spirit. She wasn't feeling the Spirit, but she was feeling the slap on the face. They felt like if you could cry, the Holy Spirit was moving. I'm thinking, man, cry and get that thing over with, girl. That's going to hurt too much. By the way, the Holy Spirit works within the Bible. Listen to this statement. The Bible has to be perfect. The Bible has to be perfect, inspired, and preserved itself. The Holy Spirit can't work through an imperfect Bible. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There has to be in every word Bible somewhere, or nobody's saved and we're all going to hell. It's the King James Bible, just so you know. These have to be the words of God, or there's no Holy Spirit that can move. You can look it up all you want. Never been a major revival preached in the last 500 years in the English language without the King James Bible. Never been one preached with the American Standard Version. Never one with the NIV, the New King James, the HIV for the Sodomites, the MICKEYMOUSE version, the Precious Moments Bible, the Reader's Digest Bible, you name it. There's never the gender neutral Bible where God's in it. Shoot. There's never been a major revival preached anywhere outside the King James Bible. Do you know that's the only book they won't allow in a communist country? They'll let any other version in but that. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We have to have a perfect Bible for a perfect Holy Spirit to seal us. Say, preacher, why do you put such a big deal on it? Because it is such a big deal. Thank God we have a perfect Holy Spirit and a perfect Bible. And God is able to do both. The Holy Spirit was sealed, stamped. It was a guarantor on a loan or a banking issue on our account. But it's also that preservation, that holding in of life to keep it contained and keep it from spoiling. And that's what the seal of the Holy Spirit's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. We ought to thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's just as real as Jesus. He's just as real as God the Father. He is the same as they. His purpose is different. Maybe you need to get in tune with the Holy Spirit.